Well, turning your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, as we're looking briefly at a subject that will challenge us. We've just finished, as I mentioned a while ago, we just finished 1 Timothy. That was a fun study. We went through that, of course, verse by verse and passage by passage. Now, starting next week, we'll start 2 Timothy, and that should be fun. And we're going to find great passages in 2 Timothy. There's going to be a lot in there that will encourage us and challenge us as we go through that book. Well, this morning, we're going to look at a different subject. And this subject is, we're calling it Guard Our Hearts. To guard our hearts, that's what it's about. What does this mean? We want to be men and women of character, and we want to make an impact for Jesus Christ. How do we do it? We see that the key is to guard our hearts, because it's going to shape our lives. When we think about making a difference for Christ, we realize that we're to study the Word of God, and we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. We're to be involved in a local church. We're to make disciples. But as we think about making this impact and being men and women of character, we find that it goes back to a simple truth. And that simple truth is, guard our hearts. What does this mean? How does it affect us? What we've realized that what goes into our lives will come out. This affects who we are. It affects our character. As we see in Galatians 6, 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. What you put in is what you get out. And that, in fact, one of the key, and we're going to see it, the key to our character is to guard our hearts. What goes in comes out. We must guard our hearts. And so we're going to see this great truth. We're going to look at the one verse really in Proverbs, and then we're going to look at some other places as well as we think about guarding our hearts. I pray that we'll get some good things out of this as we study it. Well, there's a Christian singer and songwriter. His name is Steve Green. He was really more outstanding in the 80s and 90s, and I love his voice. He had an album that were two songs on this album that really tie together to this passage. One song was called Guard Your Heart, and the other was Be Careful, Little Children. The one, Guard Your Heart, was really about being careful what you put into your life, into your mind. That was a great one. The one about little children was, one of the lines, or some of the lines were, be careful, little children, where you go. Be careful, little children, what you see. And it's the same truth. Be very careful. The truth is, whether we're young or old, we have to be very careful on what we allow to go into our hearts and into our minds. Because what we put into our hearts and our minds are going to shape us. This morning, as we look at truth from God's Word in Proverbs 4, we're going to see, what does it mean to guard our hearts? And what we want to do is make application. So let's look. If you got your Bibles, look at Proverbs 4. Look at verse 23. It's very simple. Let me just read it for you. It's very short, but there's so much in there. It says this, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. So he starts off by saying, watch over your heart, or guard your heart with all diligence. The word watch over literally means to guard your heart, and that word means to protect. It's the same word as the word is used of a person who was the watchman for a city. He was supposed to guard the city. He would stay up there, and he would watch and see if any enemies or anything is coming. When he uses this word, he says, guard your heart, watch over your heart, protect your heart. Well, what's exactly our heart? Well, our heart is really our inner being. Especially when the Old Testament uses the word heart, it's the idea of our mind, emotion, and wills. It's our inner person. It's what's in us, and then that comes out that makes us who we are. So he says, guard your inner part. Guard who you are, your mind, your emotion, your will. Guard what's going inside of you. Because when he says, watch your heart, or guard your heart, he's saying, be careful what's going in. And notice what he says. He says, watch over your heart, or guard your heart with all diligence. The word diligence means it's important. It means being very, very careful, because it's vital that we do this. Why? Notice it's very powerful truth that what we put in comes out. Whatever you're putting into your mind, whatever you're putting into your heart, what are you putting into your life is what's going to come out in our lives. What we put in comes out. You know what the Bible says? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We must guard what goes in. We must guard what goes into our inner being, because this determines who we are. Because as we keep putting in, that's what's going to come out. Now here's a problem for us. We live in a fallen world. Philippians 2 says we live in a crooked and perverse generation. It's a fallen world. And that's what we see. All this stuff is pushing on us all the time. Romans 12:2 says, stop being conformed to this world, because the world seeks to shape us. It wants us to think like the world, be like the world. There's a natural being inside of us that wants all of that. So we've got to be very careful, because the world is continually trying to put stuff in us, and that's who we become. And so what we want to do is remember that we don't want to do that. We want to guard our hearts. Here's something that is the truth. Remember, I've said this many times. Remember, if we are not consciously being transformed transformed by the Word of God, we will unconsciously be conformed to this world. So if we're not consciously taking in God's Word and the truths and being transformed, we will unconsciously be changed and conformed to this whole world. So he says, watch your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. And we'd say, well, why? Why is it so important? Notice what he says, for from it flows the springs of life. He says it flows the spring of life, the springs of life. And it flows out who we are. Who we are comes out. What goes in comes out. It's that old saying, if you put it in, it comes out. It is true. The Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, what do you put in? That's what you're going to reap. That's what's going to come out. He says, be very careful. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Now, the Hebrew really says, literally says, this is where life begins. He says, guard your heart with diligence, for this is where life begins. This is what you are. Whatever is coming into you is eventually coming out. Whatever we're putting in our mind, our brains, our lives, our hearts, as he says it, that's what's going to be coming out. We want to be men and women of character. We have to be putting in the right thing. We're in a fallen world that's putting in all the wrong thing, that's pushing us all the time to be conformed to the world. We must be transformed. And so he says, be careful. Guard yourself. Guard your heart with all diligence. Because this is where life actually begins. We're affected so much by what we see and how we think in this fallen world. That everything is out there. What we put in comes out. It affects our character. We want to be men and women of character. Because that's the key. We want to be something special. We want to be ambassadors for Christ. We want to represent our Savior. We want to be like Christ. We want to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's the plan. And so it depends on what is going in, because that's what's going to come out. We want to be people of character. Horace Greeley said this. He says, fame is a vapor. Riches take wings. Those who cheer you today will curse you tomorrow. But one thing endures, and that's character. A.W. Tozer said, the excellence of mankind is his moral character. It has been said that character is what you stand for, and reputation is what you fall for. So we must guard our hearts. So as we start, just from this verse, here's what we see. Be careful. You've got to guard what's going into your life. Be very diligent to guard what's going into your life, because this is really who you are. Because this is where life begins. This, as he says here, it flows the springs of life. Hebrews says your life begins here. This is what's going to be coming out. This is the kind of person we're going to be. With that in mind, what I want to do for just the rest of the thing, I want us to think about three key aspects dealing with guarding our hearts. In fact, three aspects as we examine the charge to guard our hearts. I want you to look at three things. Here's what they are. First of all, let's talk about what goes in. We want to put in God's Word into our hearts, because this is what goes in. We want to put in the truth of God's Word. Because the second part is, we want to give out the truth. What goes in comes out. We want to give out the truth, but we want to live out the truth in both our word and our deed, by what we say and by what we do, and we'll see how that fits together. And then the third thing I want us to do is to be challenged to be faithful to do this. So three things. We want to put in God's Word, because that's going to make us who we are, so that we can give out the truth of God's Word by what we say and how we live. And the bottom line is that we want to be charged to be faithful. Let's look at the first one. He said, let's talk about putting in God's Word. What goes in? If we guard our hearts, this is the key. What should we be putting in? Now, there's a contrast. There's a contrast from not from what's in the world, but what's in the Word. Bottom line is, you got to know the Word of God. You got to put in the Word of God. We got to know the Scripture, putting it into our lives day in and day out. We're not to put in the pollution from a fallen world. Now, we cannot help what's all out there, but we can help what goes into our lives. Listen, if you put MTV in your life every day, you're going to come out MTV. That's what it is. Let me show you something. I want you to turn to Psalm 119. Go back in your Bible just a little bit to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible. In fact, it's one of the longest things in the Bible. It's 176 verses just in Psalm 119. The way that they memorized this was, you remember, they didn't have written things like we do. Most of the time they memorized them. Psalm 119 is divided by the Hebrew alphabet. each little section, every line begins with a certain letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The first start begin with what would be the A, and then the B. That's Aleph and Bet and Gamel. And it just goes that way, and they memorized it that way. But I want you to see a little section that's sort of famous, and it talks about the Word of God. Because the key is we must put Scripture into our minds, into our hearts, into our lives. Look at Psalm 119, look at verse 9. He said, and he raises a question and then he answers it. How can a young man keep his way pure? That's the question. How can a person be pure? How can a person be godly? How can a person be a man of character? How can a woman be a woman of character? How can we do this? And in this one he says, how can a young man keep his way pure? How can you be a godly man? How do you do that? He answers it. By keeping it according to your word. By living according to the Word of God. How are we going to be a pure person? How are we going to be a godly person? How are we going to be a person of character? We must live by the Word of God. We must live it out. He says, by keeping it according to your Word, to the Scripture. He goes on to say in verse 10, he says, and this is his statement. He says, listen, here's my question. How can you be pure? Well, you got to live by the Bible. With all my heart I've sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. And the writer says, listen, I want to be pure. I know I have to keep the Word of God, but I want to be close to you. I do not want to move away from your Word. Now, the truth is this. Anytime people move away from the Scripture, they're in trouble. Anytime we seek to live our lives apart from the Scripture, apart from the truths of the Scripture, we're in trouble. If we want to be godly, we need to be putting in the truths of the Word of God. Because we put in other things, that's what's going to come out. So he said, how can a person be pure? Well, you got to live according to Scripture. Well, I want to live according to Scripture. Don't let me wander away. So look what he says, and here's the key. Verse 11, it's one that you've heard all of your lives. Your Word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. Here's the key. How can a young man be pure? Well, you got to live according to Scripture. But I want to live according to Scripture. What must I do? I must treasure God's Word so that I won't live in sin. We must put God's Word in our hearts, in our lives. When he says, New American Standard says, your word have I treasured in my heart. And the word treasure in the Hebrew has a dual meaning there. The word treasure has an idea of something that's very valuable. He says, your word I have counted as valuable in my heart. But the Hebrew word also has an idea of to hide something, to keep it safe. He says, your word I have kept safe, I have hid in my heart. I've put it there. Why? So that I will not sin. How are we going to do that? Well, you're going to have to study the Bible. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved. A workman need not be ashamed, handling accurately the Word of God. Every one of us in this room who knows Jesus Christ as Savior, we already have seen that we're to guard our hearts. We've got to be very careful because this is what our life consists of. What goes in is what's coming out. So the first thing we have to put in is the Word of God. We've got to live according to the Scripture. It is so powerful. So what does he say? How can I be pure? Keep the Word. Well, I want to do that. Don't let me wander away. So what must I do? I must treasure the Bible. I must hide the Word. And that way I will not sin. That's very powerful truth. Now, there's one other verse I want you to see. You got to turn a little further. It's still Psalm 119, but it's verse 105. Turn over there, just a couple of pages, if your Bible's like mine, a couple of pages, and you'll see Psalm 119, verse 105. This is a famous verse that most of you know. Look what it says. It tells us something that is so powerful. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. See, the Word of God is what tells us right and wrong. The Word of God, what tells us is the things. I talked to a guy in between one of the services, and we were talking about something about right and wrong, and it came up, and I said, well, where do we go to know if something's right or wrong? And he looked at me and said, the Word. That's exactly right. The Word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light to our path. It shows us what's right and wrong. That's why we're to put the Word of God into our hearts and into our minds. Romans 12, you know, he says, I beseech you, brethren, Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which is your, you know, to God, which is your pleasing act of worship. Then he says, stop being conformed to this world. Stop letting that stuff come in. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The way we're transformed is we put the Word of God in our hearts. It is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light to our path. We renew our minds so that what comes out of us is a different person. is a person based off the Scripture. Wow. What goes in comes out. Dallas Willard said this. He said, discipleship focuses on the inner self. Character grows out of our inner lives. As our character is transformed, our behavior is transformed. The person who hears the Word of God and puts it into practice, who puts it in and then lives it out, is changed inwardly and outwardly. So how can we do this? What do we do? Well, how can we put God's Word in our minds? Several ways. We study it, we memorize it, we meditate on it. Study the Word of God. You make time to dig the Scripture. Now, there's a difference to me than a quiet time in Bible study. A quiet time is something you have every day. You might just take a little place and you might read one of the Proverbs or a Psalm, or you might read a portion of the Scripture. You might write some things down. You might pray for your friends. That's great. You should do that every day. But there also be a time in which you study the Scripture, in which you get into a passage, you observe it, interpret, apply it, you put it together, you see what the Word of God has to say, you know it so you can understand it, and then you can apply it, and then be able to pass it on to others. You must put the truths in your mind. You must dig them, so we must study it. Second is, memorize the Word. Take the truths of the Bible and put them in your mind. Hide them in your heart. Memorize the Scripture. I have a group of guys that I meet with on Thursday morning and a group of guys I meet with on Tuesday morning. One of the things that we do is we memorize Scripture. And it helps me a lot, because instead of me saying, well, 2 Timothy, let's see if I can find it, 2:15 says, I don't have to do that. I don't have to go read it. I can say, tell you, it says, study to show yourself to prove a workman need not be ashamed, handling accurately the Word of God, because I have memorized it. And if I can memorize it, you can memorize it. We can put the Word of God in our minds. We hide His Word in our heart that we might not what? Sin. See, we want to live out as godly men and women. We know that we have to guard our hearts, because that's where our life comes. What goes in comes out. So we must put in the Word of God. It is so powerful. So study it, memorize it. The third thing is meditation. Meditation is to think on the Word. And that's not like transcendental meditation. It's not like yoga meditation. It's taking the truths from the Bible and thinking about it in all different ways and see how it fits together. That's what meditation is. As you think on the Scripture. So in summary, since we're supposed to guard our hearts because we realize what goes in comes out, the first thing we do is we put in the Word of God. We base our lives on the Scripture. That takes us to number two. And number two is what goes out. We give out the truth, the Word of God. We give out the truth. It's in our word and our deed. The truth is what we get in is what we give out. If we're continually putting in God's Word, we're going to be living out as a man or a woman based on the Scripture. We live our life based on the Word of God. Our whole philosophy of life is biblical. How we live is based on the Scripture. This passage, I'm sorry, go back if you would. This part, Colossians 3:17, because when we talk about giving out the truth, it's really in two aspects. It's our words and our deeds. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him. It's our words and our deeds. It's what we say and how we live. This is how we take the Scripture, and it's we give out the Scripture, not only by what we say, but we give out the Scripture and the truths by how we live. And so I really think there's two aspects here. First of all, let's think about our words, our message, and we think about it, two things there. One is we give out the good news message, and we give out the teaching and the truths of God's Word. That's two different aspects. I want you to think about this. You put in God's Word, we're to give out God's Word. The first aspect is the good news message. Every one of us in this room, we should be very clear on what exactly the message of salvation is, so that as we give out, as we live out the truths of the Bible, we are clearly presenting the salvation message. Now, the salvation message is very clear. We call it the gospel. The gospel is found in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. Paul says, I delivered unto you of first importance, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried, and He rose again on the third day. The gospel is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He came to the earth, He died on the cross, He paid for our sins, and He rose again. That's the good news message. The response to the good news message is to believe. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. And so we have the greatest privilege of all, and that is to tell the gospel message. It's very simple. Jesus Christ came to the earth, died on the cross, paid for sin, rose again. Whoever believes in Him has eternal life. That's the message. A lot of people add things to it that confuse it and mess it up. It is that simple. Don't add to it. proclaim it clearly. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He left the glories of heaven, came to the earth, died on the cross, taking our sin upon himself. He was buried. He rose again, conquering death. And whoever trusts in him, believes in him, has eternal life. It's that simple. There are a lot of different ways to share our faith. At Countryside, we teach a number of ways. But you know what I've been doing over the last few years? I've just made it simple for myself. I've gone back to what most of us have known forever, and that's John 3:16. God so loved who? The world. That's every one of us. That he gave his only begotten Son. Gave him what? Gave him to come to the earth, die on the cross, pay for sin, and rise again. That whosoever, anyone, who would believe in him, that means trust in him and him alone, would not perish, be separated from God, but have everlasting life. It's that simple. Almost everybody knows John 3:16. That's the only verse I knew before I became a Christian. A lot of people know that verse. They may have never trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior. We have the privilege of giving out the truth. The second aspect there is not only the gospel message. I'm sorry, go back if you would. Not only the gospel, but the teaching of God's Word. We get to pass on the truths of the Bible to others. That's our responsibility. 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul told Timothy to take the things that you've been taught in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful people who will be able to teach others as well. We have the privilege of getting to tell other people the truths of the Bible. We need to take what's been put into our lives, our hearts, our minds, and proclaim those and teach those to others. Who are you passing the truths on to? Now, we all know, as Christians, we're supposed to share our faith and tell the gospel. We also realize that as believers, we're to teach other people the Word of God. Do you have someone that you're discipling? Do you have a small group that you're teaching? You may say, but I'm not sure what to teach them. I mean, okay, let's say I could get a group of two or three people together, even just one-on-one, and I'm willing to pass on what I know. How do I do that? Well, we have studies we call the 412 and the 22, and we got all different kind of things. And whatever you need, we got teacher editions and student editions. You come to the office, we'll help you get trained and equipped so you can disciple other people. Because that's what you're supposed to do. That's our words. The second part is our deeds. That's our lifestyle. That's how we live. We're supposed to live it out as well. We're to live out based on the Word of God. Philippians 2 says we're to be innocent and blameless, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation in which we shine as lights in this world. Titus 3, do good to all people, especially the household of faith. Jesus Christ said, let your light shine so that the world may see, actually says, see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We're to live in such a way that Jesus Christ is the glory. Philippians 1:27 says, walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. We're ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech. We've got to live it out. What's our goal? To be servants for Jesus Christ, to invest our lives in others, to take in the truths and then live out the truth in our words, in our deeds. This is powerful truth. We can't be the same. We can't take in junk and live godly. We take in the Word and we live godly. And we proclaim the message. So what have we seen? Guard our hearts. Be careful what you put in because that's what your life is. And we put in God's Word and it shapes our character and who we are. And then we give out the truth of God's Word, both by our words and our deeds. And that takes us to the final area. And we'll go very quickly. The last thing is, this is the charge. Let's be faithful. Let's be faithful to do it. Are we best be faithful to take in the Word and give out the Word? Faithfulness is the key. I read a survey of a bunch of CEOs. They asked them, if you're looking for people to hire for your company, what is the key characteristic you look for? And at the top of every list, every time, it was faithfulness. Hebrews 12 says, run the race with endurance. Step after step, day after day. Christian life is a long-distance race. Hebrews 6:1 says we need to go on to maturity. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says it is required of stewards to be found faithful. That's what we ought to be, faithful. This is the key. Now listen to this. It is not our abilities, because God is the one who gives the abilities. It is not success, because God is the one who determines success. It is faithfulness that is the key. Galatians 6:9 says, let's not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Do you know that God will reward you for living a faithful life? When you stand before your Savior, we call it the judgment seat of Christ. One day, it says we'll reap one day when we hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I got a couple of verses here for you. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be rewarded. Romans 14, we'll be accountable. And 1 Corinthians 3, all of these are rewards passages. They have nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is by faith alone and Christ alone. These are rewards passages. As you live for the glory of God, one day when you stand before Him, you know what He's going to say? Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Faithfulness is doing what we're supposed to do when we're supposed to do it. We want to be faithful to take in the Word and live out the Word. That's the key. So what have we seen? We've seen let's guard our hearts because be real careful. We've got to be real careful what goes in because from it is our life. This is this is where life begins. So what do? We put into our hearts God's Word. We study it, we memorize it, we meditate on it. We do all of those things. We put in God's Word so that as we live, we give out the truth through our words, through our gospel message, and through the teaching of the Word, and through our deeds, how we live as we touch lives for Jesus Christ. And our charge and our goal is to be faithful servants of Christ. 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32 says this. It describes these people called the sons of Issachar. And it says, and the sons of Issachar were men who understood the times. That means they knew about, they understood the world they lived in. We need to understand the world we live in. It's a fallen world and it's pushing us all the time. And if we're not careful, we'll be putting that stuff in and then that's what's going to come out. What we must put in is the Word of God. Live by the Scripture. That's what comes out. If we want to make an impact for Christ, this is the only way to do it. So may we put the Word of God in our minds, in our hearts, so that we can give out the truth, living as faithful servants of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a passage. Thank You for these great truths, Lord. Thank You for what You've shown us, Lord. We just want to guard our hearts. We know that we have to be very careful what goes in because our hearts are really, that's where life begins. And so, Lord, we want to put in Your Word. We want to study it and dig it and memorize it and meditate on it and understand the Word of God so that we can be changed, so that we can be changed from the inside out. And then, Lord, as we live, we want to live out the truths in the words that we say, both in our gospel message and in our teaching and in our lifestyle, our deeds, so that people can look at us and see that we're different. Lord, I pray for all of us and myself included that we would be faithful servants so someday we hear You say, well done, good and faithful servant. Thank You, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.